Our reading this evening is from the book of Acts in the 26th chapter, and we hear Paul saying these words. All the Jews know my way of life from my youth, a life spent from the beginning among my own people and in Jerusalem. They have known for a long time, and if they are willing to testify, I have belonged to the strictest sect of our religion and has lived as a Pharisee. And now I stand here on trial on account of my hope in the promise made by God to our ancestors, a promise that our 12 tribes hope to attain as they earnestly worship day and night. It is for this hope, Your Excellency, that I am accused by Jews. Why is it thought indescribable, incredible even, by any of you that God raises the dead? Indeed, I myself was convinced that I ought to do many things against the name of Jesus of Nazareth. And that is what I did in Jerusalem. With authority received from the chief priests, I not only locked up many of the saints in prison, but I also cast my vote against them when they were condemned to death. By punishing them, often in all of the synagogues, I tried to force them to blasphemy. And since I was so furiously enraged at them, I pursued them even in foreign cities. With this in mind, I was traveling to Damascus with the authority and commission of the chief priests when at midday along the road, Your Excellency, I saw a light from heaven, brighter than the sun, shining around me and my companions. When we had all fallen to the ground, I heard a voice saying to me in the Hebrew language, "Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me? It hurts you to kick against the goads." And I asked, "Who are you, Lord?" The Lord answered, "I am Jesus, whom you are persecuting. But get up and stand on your feet, for I have appeared to you for this purpose, to appoint you to serve and to testify to the things in which you have seen me and to those in which I will appear to you. I will rescue you from your people and from the Gentiles, to whom I am sending you to open their eyes so that they may turn from darkness to light and from the power of Satan to God, so that they may receive forgiveness of sins and a place among those who are sanctified by faith in me." Here ends our reading. Will you please pray with me? O Lord, open our eyes to behold your presence. O Lord, open our ears to hear your voice. O Lord, open our hearts to receive your love. Amen. So where have you seen God lately? On Facebook and Twitter, it seems that people are searching for something, for someone. And watching the evening news and reading the paper, again, I'm finding people seeking. They're looking for peace of mind. They're looking for a purpose in this life. And they're seeking something. They're seeking a higher power. They're seeking God. It's like they're saying, "God, where are you?" This question is something that Steve and I have wrestled with. In particular, we seem to wrestle with it most on mission trips. When we go, our group is divided up into different work groups with others. And during the course of a week, we and these friendly strangers get to know each other and we bond. And every evening, all the groups come back to the same place. We share a meal together. We sing songs. We hear God's word. We hear a message. And then share our day of what we did. And somewhere in this process, one of the group leaders has the tendency to get up and asks two questions. Who did something wonderful in your group today? And where have you seen God? And the oddest thing happens every trip. It's like people can't tell the difference between these two questions. They answer both questions the same way. They say, oh, well, Tom did this for Tom, and this guy did this. So it's all about something that they did. And every now and then, you hear a voice that'll say, I saw a rainbow. I saw God in this person's face. Now, don't get me wrong, being the hands and feet of Christ is part of why you're on that mission trip to serve, so that's like a good thing, but we seem to be missing the bigger point of where is God? Like, we forgot that he's still alive. He's not dead somewhere. But when we only count on our actions, we're turning ourselves into that God. So what we need to do is we need to take maybe our glasses off and readjust those lenses. This evening, we heard the story of somebody who had his lenses readjusted for him. In the beginning of that reading, Paul is talking to King Agrippa and the chief priests from Jerusalem, and he is on trial with them. He's defending himself, and he does this by first reminding them of his upbringing. After all, he is a good Jew. He is a Pharisee. He has lived his whole life this way. He was the one that fervently went after all of those people who followed the way of Christ. He's the one that did that. It makes you think, how would I feel if I was in his shoes? Because after all, I'm the defender of the faith, and now I'm on trial for my faith. And in that story, Paul reminds us, too, that they sent him to Damascus. Like, you know, it's kind of their fault. And on that road, he sees a light, and he hears a voice. And that light represents God, just as it does throughout the Bible. And Paul believes. No, he knows that he is talking to Jesus. And there's no question in that for him. And he hears Jesus say that he, Paul, has been chosen to go to the Gentiles, to open their eyes so they too can see the power of God and they can be saved by God's grace. But there's one line in this story that really puzzles me. What does Jesus mean when he says, Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me? It hurts you to kick against the goads. What are they? It's like, what? Now, to us, we're like, well, I don't know what that is. Just kind of skip over that word. Well, it's a cattle prod. At least that's what we would call it now. But at that time, it was a metaphor that the Greek world would often use. So it's talking about somebody that's opposing a deity. And isn't God pushing Paul into testifying for Christ to change his ways? To show that promise of God? And you think about that conversion. It wasn't like, oh, today I'm going to convert. No. Well, it really was, wasn't it? He was goaded, he was prodded, okay, you're going to do this. But he didn't do it like, oh, I'm going to change my shoes. He firmly believed in it, and now he's testifying to the promise of God to those who had sent him. There's a hope in this story, because see, he found the resurrection in Christ. This hope is at the heart of this revelation that he received on this road from Damascus when he encountered the light of Christ. This hope allows him to even evangelize to King Agrippa and to the chief Jews. And his response is not what they were expecting. It's not what they thought. And it's almost like he went to them, so tell me, have you seen God today? Now, I don't know about you, I have never seen that light. I have never had a conversion experience that way. I was born into a good Christian family, raised up in the faith. Some people I know don't come through that way. Instead, they hear an invitation to come to church or come and hear the word. And that's how they learn about Jesus and about this love. So in this journey that we're on right now, we're asking God to open our eyes to him. So the next time that you're on Facebook, or you're watching the news, or you go on a mission trip, try to view these events through a different lens. Try to take them on the way that Christ would look at this story. Look for God in the people that you encounter, in the work that you do. And when you see an injustice or a cruelty, when you see that bully at the school, you don't turn away and hide from it, but instead you approach it head on. You ask God for guidance. You pray. You might ask others for help. You give of yourself, and you give of yourself to others. More importantly, this is a time to listen to what God is calling you to do in this life, both individually and collectively as a faith community. So, where have you seen God today?